and the show began. Mom opened the report with assurances that she was on the mend.
I'm doing wonderfully, thanks to the work of our excellent doctors and the care of my family,
she promised. I knew that this was the only news that would matter to the audience until our big announcement. I could barely pay attention to the updates on funding and international relations myself. I doubted the rest of the country could. Finally, Dad walked up to the podium in the middle of the stage. Staring into the camera, he slowly exhaled.
My people,
he started, but quickly stopped and turned to face Mom and me. I took her hand, worried he would change his mind. As scared as I was to take his place, backing out now would feel like failing. He gazed at the two of us for a moment, his lips slowly forming a smile, then looked back into the camera.
My beloved people, I come before you tonight to ask for your mercy. In 20 years as king, I have done my best to alleviate the wars and issues that threatened our peace for so long. We have formed new alliances, gotten rid of archaic social practices, and done all we can to give you, the individual, the greatest chance at personal happiness. Now, I pray you will do the same for me. With my wife's recent health scare, I find myself unable to focus on moving our country forward, let alone maintaining what we currently have. As such, after much thought and discussion, our family has decided that my daughter, Princess Edelyn Shreve, will ascend the throne.
He paused to let the words sink in, and in that moment, I heard the most unexpected sound. Applause. I looked up and saw it was the boys. They were clapping for me. Kyle jumped to his feet, thrilled at the news, and Hale joined him, thrusting his fingers into his mouth to give a whistle. After the elite were all standing, I realized that everyone in the studio had joined in. And not just Miss Marley and General Ledger, but the makeup girls and the floor runners who made sure the show went on without a hitch. My lip trembled a little, completely overwhelmed by their instant joy. It bolstered my confidence. Maybe we'd been worried for nothing. Dad, encouraged by the response, carried on as the noise died down.
We are settling plans for the coronation as we speak, and it will take place by the end of next week. Having worked side by side with the princess for the whole of her life, I know our country could not be in better hands. I also must tell you that she volunteered to take on this role early so that her mother and I may step back from leading and enjoy simply being a husband and wife, a life we have not yet been privileged to lead. I hope you will join me in rejoicing over this wonderful news. Our whole family thanks you, our people, for your enduring support.
As soon as Dad finished speaking, the clapping and whistling started all over again. We passed each other as I went to the podium, and when he raised his hand for a high five, I couldn't not respond. I stopped in front of the podium, feeling 1,000 butterflies in my stomach. I want to thank everyone in the palace for their help and guidance since I became regent, and let all Ilia know how delighted I am to ascend the throne. I cannot begin to express what joy it brings me to be able to do this for my parents. That was truer than anything I knew. All the nerves in the world couldn't dampen it. And as I step into the position of queen, that means that one of these gentlemen back here won't simply be a prince. He will immediately become a prince consort. I looked over my shoulder at them, and while some, like Fox and Kyle, seemed ecstatic, Hale was frowning. So the other night wasn't just a fluke. He was having genuine doubts. What had happened? How had I lost him?
My upcoming coronation will be one of the biggest celebrations the palace has ever seen. Please go to your provincial services office for information, as one family from each province will be invited to the palace, all expenses paid, to enjoy the festivities.
That had been my idea, one I felt sure Merid would appreciate. And of course, we appreciate your support of our family through this transitional period. We thank you, Ilya. Good night.
I went over to Mom and Dad the second the cameras went down. Can you believe that?
It went so well, Mom said. The boys clapping, starting it all themselves. It was so organic, and I know that had to encourage people at home.
It's a good sign, Dad agreed. And I think the element of your chosen husband immediately becoming a prince consort definitely adds something to this selection.
As if it wasn't crazy enough. I sighed and smiled, feeling too happy to care that this was all complete madness. Dad kissed my forehead.
You were wonderful.
Now, do you need some rest?
He asked, turning to Mom.
I'm fine.
She rolled her eyes as they headed off the stage.
Are you sure? We could have dinner brought up to our room.
So help me, if you do that, I will throw it at you.
I laughed. It was making more and more sense that they fought through their whole selection process. Now I just needed to get through mine.
Chapter 17.
I ran down to breakfast the next morning, gripping the paper in my hand. I buzzed past the guards and the elite, plunking it down in front of Mom and Dad.
Look,
I urged, pointing to the headline. What do they know that we don't? It read. The photo beneath it, a shot of the boys all standing and cheering on the report. Dad picked up the paper, popped on his glasses, and read the article aloud, though not projecting his voice for the room to hear.
When you think of Princess Edelyn Shreve, the first words that come to mind might not be congenial, enthusiastic, or beloved. She certainly has class and beauty. And while no one could argue her intellect, one might have cause to question other traits, such as her devotion to her people. So we have to ask, what is it that these young men, indeed these sons of Ilya, know about her that we have missed?
Mom looked up at me, smiling.
When the five remaining gentlemen in the selection instantly rose to their feet and applauded at the announcement of the princess's ascent, I will admit that was not this reporter's initial reaction. I was worried. She's young, she's distant, she's not in touch with her people. But if these boys, all but one of them strangers to her up until recently, immediately decide to celebrate, then there must be more to our upcoming queen than a pretty face. Recently, the elite spoke of her being considerate and engaging. Are these qualities she's had all along that merely haven't been easy to translate on screen? Is she a genuine leader, prepared to sacrifice for her people? The nature of her rise to the crown would suggest the answer is yes. The king and queen are still young. They are still physically and mentally able to continue their reign. To see the princess take over early so that they can enjoy their time together as a married couple shows not only her love for her family, but her commitment to her work.
I could see Mom's eyes welling with tears now.
Only time will tell if these assumptions prove true, but I can say that my faith in the crown has been, at least temporarily, restored.
Oh, honey,
Mom exclaimed. Dad passed the newspaper back to me.
Edie, this is great.
It's the most encouraging thing to happen publicly for a long time, I agreed with a contented sigh. I'm trying not to get my hopes up too high, but it makes going to work today that much easier.
I hope you're planning to take it easy this morning.
Mom gave me a pointed look. I don't want you getting burned out before you even start.
I'd tell you I have a simple morning planned, but it'd be a lie, I admitted.
I'm off to a Finnish lesson right now. Do you have any idea how difficult it is to count in Finnish?
Dad sipped his coffee.
I've listened to it for years. I applaud you for trying.
Henry's very sweet, Mom commented. Not the direction I was expecting you to go in, but he'll certainly make you smile.
Pfft!
Dad turned to her.
What do you know about picking husbands? Last time you tried that, you got stuck with me.
She smiled and hit his arm. You two are so gross, you ruin everything. I spun and headed toward the door. Have a great day, honey.
Mom called after me, and I raised a hand in acknowledgement before pausing by Henry.
Latia? He beamed.
Yes, good.
He dropped his napkin by his plate and took my arm.
Wait up!
Fox called, and Kyle was right behind him.
I'm looking forward to this. I think I did pretty well last time. Eric's such an encouraging teacher, though. You could just be stringing together random sounds, he'd tell you nice try.
Kyle said with a laugh. I nodded.
Maybe it's a Swendish thing? Poor Henry was stuck helping me last time, and he had to grab my face because I was making the shapes wrong.
I mimicked the action, and Henry caught on, smiling at us. But was he bothered? Nope. A second after I brought it up, I remembered that Henry and I might have been on the verge of a kiss in that moment. And while I was relieved to see neither of them seem to have noticed it, I was struck by the fact that I hadn't thought about that almost kiss at all. When we got to the library, Eric was already in there, writing on the board.
Good morning, Professor, I greeted, walking over to him.
Your Highness, or do we say Majesty now?
Not yet, I exclaimed.
Just thinking about that gives me the shivers. Well, I'm thrilled for you. We all are. I mean, they all are,
he corrected, nodding toward the elite, including Hale and Ian, who were walking in behind everyone.
I didn't intend to lump myself in with them. I just get to see everyone's reactions up close.
Don't be silly. You're part of the gang, I laughed, looking around the room. Sometimes this feels more like a weird little club than a competition.
You're right, but that doesn't change the fact that it is.
His somber tone drew my eyes back to his face, though he was avoiding my gaze. Instead, he picked up a handful of papers and gave them to me.
And how lucky am I to be able to say I got to help the new queen learn Finnish?
His eyes glowed with pride. I peeked over at the others, watching them choose seats, and stepped a little closer to keep my words between the two of us.
I'll miss you too, you know, when it's all over.
You mean as much as the others. More than some. He shook his head.
You shouldn't say that. I'm not like them.
You are exactly like them. As common and as elevated, Iko. He stilled at the sound of his given name, and just barely, the corners of his lips hitched up into a smile.
Hey, Edie, Kyle called. Wanna be my partner?
Sure.
I walked over to him and Eric followed.
We'll spend a few minutes going over what we learned last week,
Eric began.
Then we'll move on to some basic conversational questions and answers. I know a few of you were studying other things, and I'm happy to help with any of that, too. For now, let's go back to the numbers. Okay, here we go. Yksi, kaksi, kolme, neljä, viisi.
Kyle recited proudly.
How do you do that? Ugh, I'm so jealous.
Practice. What, you don't have a spare hour to devote to counting in Finnish?
I laughed. I'm taking showers at a breakneck speed these days. I miss my time, but it'll be worth it, getting Mom and Dad a chance to breathe.
I feel weird saying I'm proud of you, but I am.
He tried to suppress his grin and failed.
It's like, this lets me know that I'm not falling for some figment of my imagination. That you're really as smart and selfless and determined as I've started thinking you are.
As opposed to Edlin circa this time last year? I said slyly.
Don't get me wrong. She was a fun girl. Knew how to party, knew how to light up a room. This girl does that and 100 things more. And I like her. But you already know that.
I like you too, I whispered. I caught sight of Eric out of the corner of my eye and turned back to the paper. 8 and 9 trip me up because they're similar but really different at the same time.
Okay, let's look at those again then.
Eric walked away, and I felt guilty for wasting this class time when it was something I genuinely wanted to learn.
Speaking of liking you, I'm sorry I haven't been able to make much time.
Kyle shrugged.
Don't worry about me, Edie. I'm still here.
With that, he pointed to the paper in front of me, forcing me to focus on the syllables. I watched him exaggerate the shapes of the words with his mouth, all the while feeling grateful for language and time and everything waiting on my horizon. I pushed open the office door to find Lady Bryce on the phone. She waved at me as she continued speaking.
Yes. Yes. 1 week from today. Thank you.
She plunked down the receiver.
Sorry, your desk is the biggest, and with the coronation in a week, there's a lot to take care of. Flowers are ready, the church is booked, we have 3 designers working on dress options, and if you want Nina to oversee any of that, I'm sure she'd be thrilled.
I stared at the piles of folders she'd set out. Did you do all this in a day?
More or less.
I made a face at her and she grinned before confessing the truth.
I had a feeling it was coming, so I had a few things hammered out just in case.
I shook my head. You know me better than I know myself. Part of the job.
Side note, she said. I got a call this morning from Merritt. He thanked you for his family's invitation to the coronation, but wasn't sure his parents would be completely welcome.
I spoke with Dad. He knew that, right?
He did.
I sighed. But Merritt's coming?
Yes, and once this has all passed and you're settled in as queen, you can keep reaching out to them if you want.
I nodded. If that's a bridge that can be mended, I want it done.
That seems very wise.
I took a deep breath, basking in the praise. I'd need to keep the kind words I received close to me, like armor, if I was going to survive.
I'm ready to work. Hit me with it. Actually, I think the best use of your time might be to speak with some of the elite, or go on a date or something.
I was just with them, I protested. They're all fine.
I mean more in the one-on-one sense. Besides the coronation details, which you shouldn't even be bothered with, there's nothing that can't wait until Monday. Your professional life is moving forward, and you were the one who said that it went hand in hand with your private life.
She raised her eyebrows at me. Okay.
Why so glum? If I remember correctly, you think all 5 of them are frontrunners.
It's complicated. The one I most need to talk to might not even want to speak to me, I sighed. Wish me luck.
You don't need it.
Chapter 18. I sat in my room waiting for Hale to arrive. I wanted to have this conversation in a place that was intimate and comfortable. My palms were sweating, and I realized rather abruptly I was getting down to the boys I really didn't want to send home. I knew only one would stay in the end, but I almost wished the others could call the palace home too, or maybe promise to visit on holidays. I snapped my head up at the knock on the door and went to answer it myself. I didn't want Eloise around for this. Hale bowed.
Your Highness.
Come in. Are you hungry? Thirsty?
No, I'm good.
He rubbed his hands together, looking as nervous as I was. I sat at the table and he joined me. When I couldn't bear the silence any longer, I spoke.
I need you to tell me what's going on. He swallowed.
And I want to tell you, but I don't know what I'll do if you end up hating me because of it.
Despite the warmth, I felt a chill. Why would I hate you, Hale? What did you do?
It's not something I did, it's something I can't do.
Which is?
Marry you.
Though I'd been expecting as much, though my heart had never really fully been his, it was still a painful blow. What? I had to stop and breathe. This was my worst fear coming to life. I was unlovable. I knew it. All it had taken was a few weeks by my side for him to figure it out. What suddenly made you so certain you couldn't marry me? He paused, looking pained, and I took some consolation in the fact that he didn't seem to want to hurt me.
When I found I had feelings for someone else.
At least that was easier to handle than my initial worry. Carrie? He shook his head.
Ian.
I was driven to absolute silence. Ian? Like, Ian? Ian? I didn't see that coming. Hale had been so tender, so romantic. But instantly everything about Ian became clear. When the castes had been in place, it was law that every family fell into the caste of the husband. Because of that, there could only ever be one male head of the household. The same went for women. No married couple, no legitimate household. Some people lived together without bothering with marriage, calling their lovers roommates, but it was frowned on. Mom told me about a same-sex couple back in Carolina who'd been shunned to the point that they were driven out of town. I'd never cared for that story. It sounded to me like way too many people had it hard when she was growing up. Why would anyone go out of their way to make someone's life any harder? Regardless, same-sex couples tended to live in the shadows, on the outskirts of society, and unfortunately that was still the case today. This made Ian's acceptance of not finding love in his life much more understandable. But Hale... How did you even...
We started talking one night in the men's parlor. I hadn't been able to sleep and decided to go there to read. I found him writing in his journal.
Hale smiled to himself.
He wouldn't think it to look at him, but he's actually very poetic. Anyway, we just talked, and... I don't know how we even got to the point where we were sitting beside each other, but then he kissed me and I knew why I never had a crush on Carrie. I knew why, even though you are the smartest, funniest, bravest girl I know, I couldn't marry you.
I closed my eyes, taking this in, and I felt absolutely horrified. Because all that came to my mind was how badly this might affect me. Forget that Hale was going to have to explain this discovery about himself to his family. Forget that Ian might finally be forced to come clean. What would the press say when they eventually learned that not one but two of my suitors would rather be with each other than with me? Sometimes I was a really terrible person.
I know that a selected being in a relationship with someone else is treason.
Hale breathed. I raised my eyes, having forgotten that detail.
But I also know that a short, honest life is better than a long, deceitful one.
Hale, I urged, leaning across the table to take his hand. What makes you think I could even punish you?
I know the rules.
I sighed. We live our lives bound by them, don't we? He nodded. Perhaps you and I could make a deal?
What kind of deal?
I pulled my hands back, rubbing them together. If you would do me the favor of staying until after the coronation and letting me dismiss you and Ian a few weeks or
maybe even days apart. Then I will allow you to leave the palace without any sort of repercussions.
He stared at me.
Really?
I admit, I'm worried about the fallout from all this, but if it looks like you two fell for each other after you were eliminated, then no one could accuse you of treason. And I'm sorry, but if the press found out, they'd tear me apart over this.
I really didn't want to make things harder for you. I'm not in love with you, but I love you enough to tell you the truth.
Standing, I bridged the space between us. He stood too, and I flung my arms around him, resting my head on his shoulder.
I know. And I love you too. I wouldn't wish you a lifetime shackled to me when it would make you miserable.
Is there anything I can do for you? Leaving here with your blessing was more than I hoped for. How can I help you?
I stepped back. Just be an exemplary selection candidate for a few more days. I realize that's asking a lot, but getting me past the coronation would mean the world to me.
It's not asking a lot, Edlin. It's hardly asking anything.
I put a hand on his cheek. Something every day. So, is he the one or what? Hale laughed, the relief finally hitting him.
I don't know. I mean, I've never felt like this before.
I nodded. Since he and I don't talk much, maybe you'd like to tell him how your eliminations will work. He'll probably go home before you, since publicly he looked like a less likely candidate. Saying that out loud caused a little ping in my chest, too. Ian had been a safety net. And still, knowing the truth, I didn't relish the idea of him going home.
Thank you. For all of this.
Don't mention it. Hale swept in and hugged me again before running off. I smiled, thinking that Hale and I were in very similar situations, charging headlong into the future with no guarantee of a happily ever after. All the same, it meant something that we ran, didn't it? I like to think so. The day had gone from wonderful to complicated very quickly, and by the end of it, I was ready to bypass dinner and fall straight into bed. I pushed my door open, trying to hold on to the best parts of the day. Lady Bryce saying I was wise. The press feeling hopeful. Hale's smile before he ran out of the room.
You know, a deep voice said, I think I might be your maid's favorite.
Kyle was lounging on my bed, his arms comfortably crossed behind his head. I laughed. And why is that?
Because she was far too easy to bribe.
The least you could have done was take off your shoes. He made a face and slipped them off, then patted the space on the bed beside him. I flopped down, looking incredibly unladylike. He rolled over, facing me, and I caught a glimpse of his fingers.
What in the world have you been doing today?
I spent the afternoon sketching with charcoals,
he answered, flipping his blackened hands over.
Don't worry, they won't rub off on your sheets. My fingers are just stained.
What'd you dream up?
I realize this might be overstepping boundaries, but I was thinking about the town hall, and I was wondering if it might be helpful to have things like that more often. I was redesigning one of the parlors into a permanent throne room, where you could receive people, hear individual petitions, and address them one-on-one. Something official, but understated.
That's really thoughtful.
He shrugged. I told you, I keep making things for you.
The glimmer in his eyes was so boyish that for a moment I forgot we were on the verge of so many grown-up things.
You also might want to think about setting up a radio station, he commented.
Ugh, why? The reports are bad enough.
When I was taking classes in Fenley, my friends and I listened to the radio a lot. We would leave it on in the kitchen or while we worked, and any time we heard something interesting, we'd stop and listen, and start our own discussion. It might be a good way for you to reach people. And it's not quite as bad as having a camera in your face.
Interesting. I'll think about it. I touched the tips of his dirty fingers. Did you work on anything else? He made a face.
Remember those little units I was talking about? I was trying to see if they could be built with an upstairs, for larger families, but looking at the materials I wanted to use, it doesn't seem possible. The metal would be too thin. It would be helpful if I could actually build one and test it out. Maybe one day.
I stared at him. You know, Kyle, princes rarely get their hands dirty.
I know, he smiled. It's more something nice to think about than anything.
He shifted his weight and the conversation in one swift movement.
The papers looked good today.
Yeah, now I just have to keep that momentum going. I have no idea how to recreate it, though.
You don't have to. Sometimes things just happen.
It would feel nice to not try to work at it all so much. I yawned. Even a mostly good day was tiring.
Do you want me to go so that you can get some rest?
Nah, I said, settling in a little closer and rolling onto my back. Can you stay here for a little while?
Sure.
He held my hand and we stared at the intricate painting on my ceiling.
Edlin?
Yeah?
You okay?
Yeah. I feel like I'd be doing better if I could go slower, but everything has to be now, now, now.
You could push the coronation back, stay regent for a while. It's practically the same thing.
I know, but it doesn't feel the same. My dad was doing okay with me as regent, but even in the short time since we set a date for the coronation, he's been much better. I know it's all mental, but if it helps him sleep, which helps him with Mom, which helps her get better.
I see what you're saying. But what else? You're not rushing through this election, are you?
Not on purpose. It seems to be thinning itself out for me.
What do you mean?
I sighed. I can't really say now. Maybe once everything's settled.
You can trust me.
I know. I leaned my head into his shoulder. Kyle?
Yeah?
Do you remember our first kiss?
How could I forget? It was printed on the front of every newspaper.
No, not that one. Our first kiss. After a beat of confusion, he sucked in a huge breath.
Oh my gosh.
I just lay there laughing. When I was 4 and Kyle was 6, he and I played together a lot. I still didn't remember what made him start hating palace life or when our mutual dislike for each other kicked in, but back then, Kyle was like another Aaron. One day, the three of us were playing hide-and-seek, and Kyle found me. Instead of tagging me out, though, he bent down and kissed me full on the mouth. I stood up and pushed him to the ground and swore to him that if he ever tried it again, I'd have him hanged.
What 4-year-old knows how to threaten someone's life?
He teased. One who was raised to, I suppose.
Wait, is this your way of telling me you're having me hanged? Because if so, this is incredibly cold.
No, I laughed. I felt you deserved an apology by now.
It's fine. Really funny years later. When people ask about my first kiss, I never say that one. I tell them it was the daughter of the Saudi Prime Minister. I guess that one was actually my second.
Why don't you tell them about me?
Because I thought you might follow through on the hanging thing,
he joked.
I guess I just blocked it out. It wasn't exactly a fantastic first kiss.
I started giggling. Mom told me that she was Dad's first kiss, and she pretty much tried to back out of it.
Really?
Yeah. Kyle laughed.
Do you know about Aaron's?
No. But Kyle was so tickled, I was in tears before he said a word.
It was with one of the Italian girls, but he had a cold and...
He paused because he was laughing so hard.
Oh, man. He had to sneeze mid-kiss. So there was snot everywhere.
What?
I didn't see the kiss, but I was there for the aftermath. I just grabbed him and we ran.
My stomach hurt from laughing, and it took a while for it to wear out of our systems. When we finally calmed down, I realized something. I don't know anyone who's had a really good first kiss. After a second, he answered.
Me neither. Maybe it's not the first kisses that are supposed to be special. Maybe it's the last ones.
Chapter 19. I stood still as Nina placed pins down the back of my coronation gown. It was a showstopper, with a sweetheart neckline and a full skirt all in gold. The cape was a little heavy, but I only had to wear that in the church. While I had chosen this gown out of the three that had been offered to me, it probably wasn't what I'd have worn if I'd had time to design the dress myself. Still, everyone sighed when they saw it, so I bit my tongue and was grateful.
You look beautiful, darling,
Mom said, as I stood on a raised platform in front of huge mirrors that had been brought to my room especially for this fitting. Thanks, Mom. How do you think it compares with yours? She chuckled.
My coronation dress was also my wedding dress, so there's no comparison. Your gown is perfect for the occasion.
Nina chuckled as I touched the embroidery on the bodice. It's definitely the most ostentatious dress I've ever worn.
And just think, you'll have to one-up yourself when you get married, Nina joked.
My smile faded. True. That'll be a challenge, huh?
You okay?
She asked, looking at me in the mirror. Yes, a little tired is all.
I don't care what else happens this week. You need to rest,
Mom ordered.
Saturday is going to be long, and you'll be at the center of it all.
Yes, ma'am. I watched her fiddling with her necklace. Mom, what do you think you would have done if you couldn't have married Dad? Like, if it got to the end and he chose someone else?
She shook her head. He very nearly did. You know about the massacre.
She swallowed, pausing for a minute. After all this time, it was still hard for her to go back there.
That day, he might have gone down an entirely different path, which meant I would have too.
Would you have been okay, though?
Eventually, she said slowly. I don't think either of us would have lived a life that was bad necessarily. It just might not have been the best it could have been.
But you wouldn't have been completely miserable the rest of your life. She studied my face in the mirror.
If you're worried about letting your suitors down, you can't focus on that.
I pressed my hands to my stomach, holding the dress tight as Nina worked.
I know. It's just harder than I thought it would be by this point.
It'll become clear.
Trust me. And your father and I will support you in whatever choice you make.
Thank you.
I think this is finally coming together, Nina commented, stepping back to appraise her work. If you're happy, you can take it off, and I'll have the courier send it back to Almond.
Mom nibbled on some apple slices.
I don't understand why he wouldn't let you do the sewing. He trusts you to fit it.
She shrugged.
I just follow orders.
A quiet knock on the door drew our attention.
Come in,
Nina called, falling into her old role. I wished she could just run my entire life for me. Everything felt easier with her around. A butler entered and bowed.
Pardon me, Your Highness. There's some confusion about the suit for one of the gentlemen.
Which one?
Eric, miss.
The translator?
Mom asked.
Yes, Your Majesty.
I'm coming, I said, following him out the door.
"Don't you want to take off the gown?"
Nina asked. "It'll give me a chance to practice walking in it." And it did. It was incredibly heavy, and a little hard to navigate down the stairs. I'd need sturdier heels. As I approached Eric's room, I could hear him imploring someone to reconsider.
"I am not an elite. It would be inappropriate."
I pushed the door open wider, finding him in a suit with chalk lines down the sides and pins in the hem.
"Your Highness,"
the tailor said, immediately dropping into a bow. Eric, however, stared and stared, unable to look away from the dress.
"We're having a problem coming to terms with his suit, miss."
The tailor motioned to the chalked-up suit. Eric regained his composure.
"I don't want to confuse anyone by wearing a suit that matches what the elite are wearing. But you will be walking in the procession, and there will be scores of pictures,"
the tailor insisted.
"Uniformity is best."
Eric looked at me, his eyes pleading. I pressed my fingers to my lips, considering.
"Could you give us a moment, please?"
The tailor bowed again and exited, and I crossed to stand in front of Eric.
"It does look rather sharp,"
I said with a grin.
"It does,"
he admitted.
"I'm just not sure it's proper."
"What, to look nice for a day?"
"I'm not an elite. It's confusing to have me standing with them, looking like them, when I can't. I'm not."
I put a hand on his chest. "The tailor is right. You will want to blend in. A different color of suit wouldn't help your case here." He sighed.
"But I'm..."
"What if your tie was a slightly different color?" I offered quickly.
"Is that my only option?"
"Yes. Besides, think of how much your mother will love this." He rolled his eyes.
"That's so unfair. You win."
I clapped my hands. "See? That wasn't so hard."
"Of course it was easy for you. You were the one giving the command."
"I didn't mean to command you. Not really." He smirked.
"Of course you did. You're made for it."
I couldn't tell if that was a critique or a compliment. "What do you think?" I asked, holding out my arms. "I mean, you have to try to imagine it without all the pins." He paused.
"You look breathtaking, Edlin. I couldn't even remember what I was so worked up about when you first walked in."
I fought the blush. "I've been wondering if it was too much."
"It's perfect. I can see it's a little different from your usual style, but then again, your typical look isn't meant to be coronation day ready."
I turned around and looked in the mirror. That one sentence made the whole thing so much better. "Thank you. I think I've been overanalyzing it." He stood beside me. It was comical. These beautiful clothes, some of the best we'd ever wear, marked in chalk and held by pins. We looked like dolls.
"That seems to be a talent of yours." I grimaced but nodded.
He was right.
"I realize I'm in no position to tell you what to do,"
he said.
"But you seem to handle things much better when you think about them less. Get out of your head. Trust your gut. Trust your heart."
"I'm terrified of my heart." I didn't mean to say those words out loud, but there was something about him that made this room and this moment the only place I could ever admit to the truth. He leaned down by my ear and whispered,
"There's nothing there to fear."
He cleared his throat, then turned back to face our reflections.
"Maybe what you need is a little luck. You see this ring?"
he asked, holding out his pinky. I did. I'd noticed it a dozen times. Why would someone who dulled himself down and refused to put on a suit wear a piece of jewelry?
"This was my great-great-grandmother's wedding ring.
The weaving design is a traditional Swendish thing. You see it everywhere in Swendway.
He slipped off the ring and held it between two fingers.
This has survived everything from wars to famine. Even my family's move to Ilya. I'm supposed to give it to the girl I marry. Mom's orders.
I smiled, charmed by his excitement. I wondered if there was someone back home hoping to wear it someday.
But it seems to have a lot of good luck, he continued. I think you could use some right now.
He held out the ring to me, but I shook my head.
I can't take that, it's an heirloom.
Yes, but it's a very fortunate heirloom. It's guided several people to their soulmates. And it's only temporary, until you get to the end of the selection, or Henry and I leave, whichever happens first.
Hesitantly, I slid the ring onto my finger, noting how smooth it was.
Thank you, Eric.
I looked into his blue eyes. It only took one charged second to hear the heart that I'd had so little faith in. It was taking in that piercing stare and the warm scent of his skin, and it was shouting. Without considering the repercussions or the complications, without knowing if he felt anything similar to what I did, I leaned into him. And I was thrilled to find he wasn't pulling away. We were so close, I could feel his breath across my lips.
Have we made a decision?
The tailor asked, springing back in. I jerked away from Eric.
Yes, please finish the suit for us, sir.
Without looking back, I hurried into the hallway. My heart was racing as I found an empty guest room and darted inside, slamming the door behind me. I had felt it growing, this feeling that had been hiding beneath the surface for some time now. I'd seen him, this person who never intended to be seen. And my faulty, silly, useless heart kept whispering his name. I clutched my chest, feeling my heart racing.
You treacherous, treacherous thing! What have you done?
I'd wondered how it was possible to magically find a soulmate in a random group of boys. But now, I couldn't question it. Chapter 20. The next few days passed in a whirlwind of preparation for the coronation. I did my absolute best to stay in my office and take my meals in my room, but even so, I couldn't avoid Eric completely. We had to go by the church and practice the procession, in which he was forced to participate in order to even out the number of people walking behind me. And he had to stick by Henry as we walked the elite through the great room, explaining how best to circulate at a formal party. And I had to approve the final fitting of their suits, which I managed to do without making eye contact, but which still was much, much harder than I'd have thought. The coronation would be one of the most important moments of my life. And still, all I could think about was how it might have felt to kiss him. I was running late. I never ran late, but my hair wouldn't curl the right way and a seam popped under my arm, and though I'd picked out sensible heels earlier in the week, once I tried them on with the dress, I hated them. Eloise took deep breaths as she got my hair right, practicing with a mock crown to check that everything would look as beautiful as possible when the actual moment arrived. Nina was busy making sure people were dressed and ready, so it was Hale who dashed in at the last moment with a needle and thread to make sure everything with the dress was fixed.
Thank you, I breathed.
He tied off the last stitch.
Anytime.
He looked at his watch.
Though, I really wish you'd have asked earlier.
It didn't pop until I put it on.
He smiled.
I gave everything a once-over, and it looks like that was the only weak spot. Better we caught it now than in the middle of the day.
I nodded.
I need things to be perfect today. Just once, I'd like to come across as put together, but not so put together that I hate everything and everyone around me.
Hale laughed.
Well then, if it happens to pop again, roll with it.
Eloise went to fetch something from the bathroom and I took my chance.
How's Ian? I asked in a whisper.
Good. Stunned,
he answered, almost giddy.
We both want to help you in whatever way we can. You're making our futures possible, so we owe you one.
Just help me get through today, and that will be plenty.
Something every day,
he reminded me. I hopped off the pedestal and hugged him.
You've been incredibly worthy.
That's good to know,
he replied, returning my embrace.
Okay, I'm getting my suit jacket and heading downstairs. Let me know if you need me today.
I nodded, trying not to tense as Eloise came back to do her final touch-ups.
He's a nice one,
she remarked, spraying the last of the flyaways.
He is.
Personally, I'd pick Kyle,
she commented with a giggle.
I know,
I shook my head at her. I still haven't forgotten how you let him sneak into my room. She shrugged.
He's my favorite. I have to do what I can.
Finally, everything was in place. I made my way downstairs, the tail of my cape draped over my arm. The foyer was a mass of people. General Ledger on one side, holding Miss Lucy's hands to his lips. Josie and Nina in matching pale blue gowns that would look lovely as they held my train down the aisle. And the five remaining elite in a circle toward a corner, with Eric wearing a tie that was a shade of blue slightly brighter than the others. But I only had eyes for one boy in the crowd. As I reached the middle of the staircase, I caught sight of Aaron. He was here. I rushed through the herd, elbowing my way past advisors and friends, running not into Aaron's arms but Camille's.
Is he well?
I asked into her ear.
Oui, very. And are your people pleased? Do they accept him?
As if he was born one of our own.
I held her tighter.
Thank you.
I pulled away, turning to see my stupid brother.
You clean up nice,
he teased.
I didn't know if I should joke with him or punch him in the arm or scream or laugh or anything at all, so I crushed him in a hug.
I'm sorry.
He whispered.
I shouldn't have left the way I did. I shouldn't have left you alone.
I shook my head.
You were right. I miss you so much it hurts. But you had to go.
As soon as I heard about Mom, I wanted to come back, but I didn't know if it would make things worse or better, or if it was even fair for me to show up since it seemed I was the cause.
Don't be ridiculous. All that matters is that you're here now.
He held me close for a minute as Lady Bryce organized everyone into cars. The advisors went first, and the elite just after, all of them bowing deeply to me, Eric especially. He didn't meet my eyes, and I was grateful. Who knew what my stupid heart might have done if he had? It did melt a little when he walked away, pulling repeatedly at his sleeves, seeming painfully uncomfortable in his suit.
Okay, next car,
Lady Bryce announced.
Everyone whose last name is Shreve, even you, Monsieur French Prince.
Yes, ma'am,
Aaron said, taking Camille's hand.
Edlin's in first, followed by Nina and Josie, the rest of the family in after that, and I'll be in the car right behind you.
Dad paused.
Bryce, you should be with us.
Absolutely, Mom agreed. There's room in the limo, and you're the one holding this whole thing together.
I'm not sure that's appropriate,
she replied. Nina tilted her head, trying to put doubt in Lady Bryce's mind.
It could easily fall apart on the 10-minute drive.
Also, the likelihood of someone thinking Nina and I are sisters is slim, I added.
Stay with us.
She pursed her lips as if she thought this was somehow a bad idea.
Fine. Let's go.
We piled into the limo, my dress taking up the space of three people. There was so much laughter and feet stepping over feet that the whole thing started to feel funny.
I took a deep breath. All I had to do was say a few words, make a promise I'd already made in my heart. I looked across the car to Mom. She gave me a wink, and that was all I needed. Josie and Nina followed me down the aisle of the church, holding my cape so it didn't drag across the floor. As I walked, I looked at the signet ring on my finger, the Ilian crest gleaming in its center. Dad already trusted me in this role. He was already delighted with the way I was handling it. This was just making everything official. I caught the eyes of as many people as I could, hoping to convey my gratitude. At the head of the church, I knelt on the little resting stool, feeling the weight of my dress fanned out behind me. The bishop took the ceremonial crown and held it above my head.
"Are you, Edlin Shreve, willing to take this oath?"
"I am willing."
"Do you vow to uphold the laws and honor of Ilia all the days of your life, governing your people according to their traditions and customs?"
"I do."
"And do you vow to protect the interests of Ilia both at home and abroad?"
"I do."
"And do you vow to use your power and placement to bring mercy and justice for all Ilia's people?"
"I do." It felt appropriate that vows to a country required four affirmations, whereas vows to another person only required one. With my final words spoken, the bishop set the crown on my head. I rose and turned to face my people, my cape looking rather beautiful curled up around my feet like a cat. The bishop placed the scepter in my left hand and the orb in my right. There was a loud knock of a staff on the floor and the people around me shouted, "God save the Queen!" And I felt a thrill in my chest to know those words were meant for me.
Chapter 21
"Austin, for goodness sake, stand up," Mom ordered.
"But it's so hot,"
he complained as we began what would be a marathon photo session. Dad stepped around me.
"You can pull it together for 5 minutes of pictures, son,"
Aaron laughed.
"Oh, I've missed you all."
I swatted him. "I'm so glad no one's actually filming this."
"Okay, okay, we're all ready,"
Dad called to the photographer. He and Mom posed behind me, their arms on the back of my chair. Austin and Aaron knelt on either side of me, while Caden stood with one hand behind his back, almost challenging me for the most regal-looking family member of the day. The photographer snapped shot after shot until he was satisfied.
"And who's next?"
We all stayed where we were, pulling Camille into the picture. Then, so we would have a picture of the whole family, each of the elite boys was rotated through the portrait. Then it was a picture of me with the ledgers, then one with each member of the advisory board, including Lady Bryce, who bypassed the traditionally stiff pose and hugged me tightly instead.
"I'm so proud,"
she kept saying.
"Just so, so proud."
Then, of course, we had to get a shot with the entire Woodwork family. Josie walked up as fast as she could, placing herself so she was practically front and center. I shook my head as Miss Marley gave me a big hug.
"I'm so happy for you, honey. You've grown up so fast."
I laughed. "Thank you, Miss Marley. I'm glad you could all be here today." Mr. Woodwork smiled.
"As if we'd miss it. Congratulations."
Miss Marley still held my hands.
"These past few months, seeing you ascend and watching you and Kyle become so close have been wonderful."
I smiled. "Honestly, it's hard to imagine us not being friends now. I can't believe it took us this long to actually get to know each other."
"It's funny how that works,"
Miss Marley replied.
"It seems a shame you and Josie have hardly gotten to spend any time together."
"What?"
Josie said, able to hear her name if it was so much as tapped out in Morse code on a different continent.
"It might be good for you two to do more together."
Miss Marley looked between the two of us, glowing with joy.
Yeah, we totally should,
Josie squealed.
And I'd love to,
I lied. But now that I'm queen, I'm afraid my free time will be very limited. Mom smiled knowingly behind her friend. I could tell she realized exactly what I was trying to do. Miss Marley frowned.
True. Oh, I know. Why don't you have Josie shadow you for a few days? She's always had a deep interest in the life of a princess. Now she can study a queen.
That would be amazing.
Josie grabbed my hand, and to my credit, I didn't jerk it away. With everyone waiting for me to speak and my mother's eyes warning me that, queen or not, I'd better not disappoint her closest friend. I didn't have a choice.
Sure, Josie can shadow me, that will be great.
Josie danced back to her spot and I eyed Kyle, who was doing his best not to laugh at my newest predicament. His amusement made me smile, and I felt confident that I'd at least look happy in the pictures. Finally, it was time for the individual portraits with the elite. I stood in my coronation gown as they were each cycled onto the set. Fox was first, and he looked sharp in his dark gray suit.
Okay, so what do?
He asked.
In the family picture, I put my arms by my side, but I feel like I should, I don't know, hold your hand or something?
The photographer called out.
Yes, that's good.
As Fox took my hand in his, he stepped a little closer and we smiled as clicks flashed through in quick succession. Ian sauntered over next, looking quite pleased.
Stunning, Edelin.
Absolutely stunning.
Thanks. You don't look so bad yourself.
True,
he said, smirking.
Very true.
He positioned himself behind me.
I haven't gotten to thank you yet, both for your pardon and your discretion.
You and I always got by on minimal communication. I knew you were thankful.
I'd been preparing myself for a life of disappointment,
he admitted, his tone the closest to nervousness I'd ever heard it.
To consider that anything else is possible feels unreal. I'm not quite sure how to move forward.
Just live. Ian smiled at me, kissed my forehead, and moved to the side. After Ian, it was Kyle's turn, and he barreled across the set, making me scream when he scooped me up and spun me around.
Put me down?
Why? Because you're queen? I'll need a better reason than that.
He finally stopped, facing the camera, and I knew we were both grinning like idiots. These pictures would be a completely different kind of spectacular.
I nearly killed myself stepping on that cape, he said. Fashion is deadly.
Don't say that to Hale, I commented.
Say what to me?
Hale said as they switched places.
That fashion can kill.
Kyle straightened his suit as he walked.
Hers could. You look amazing,
he said, embracing me. Thanks so much for your help this morning. Everything held together.
Of course it did. Did you doubt my skills?
He teased.
Never.
I stood back so we could take a few pictures with our faces showing, though I couldn't wait to see the ones of us embracing. Finally, it was Henry's turn, and his smile alone was enough to make this long day feel short. He stopped a few steps away from me and took a deep breath.
You are... look very... beautiful. I am happy for you.
My hand flew to my mouth, so moved. Henry, thank you so much, he shrugged.
I'm trying.
You're doing great, really. He nodded and came over to me, gently turning me away from him. Then, he walked around to move my cape so it fluttered around from behind me, and he came to the other side, placing his hands on my waist, standing proudly just over my shoulder.
It was clear he had put a lot of thought into how he wanted to be perceived in this portrait, and I admired that. When the photographer was done, Henry began to walk away, then paused.
Inta Eric?
He said, pointing to his friend. Kyle caught on and was in full agreement.
Yeah, Eric's been through this too. He needs to get up there.
Eric simply shook his head.
No, I'm fine. It's fine.
Go on, man, it's just a picture.
Kyle pushed him a little, but he still didn't move. Part of me worried that somehow everyone would be able to hear my pulse beating out his name if he got any closer. But as hard as I'd worked to avoid him the last few days, it was just as challenging not to run to him now. I walked over to him, and when he realized I was on my way, his gaze flew up to mine. In an instant, everything in the room came alive, like the sunshine had a melody, and the sounds of footsteps had a texture I could feel in my fingertips each time anyone moved. The world woke up when I looked at him. I stopped in front of Eric, hoping I didn't look as dazzled as I felt. I'm not commanding. I'm asking. He sighed.
That makes it 1,000 times worse.
Smiling, he put his hand in mine, but before I could pull him onto the stage, he looked down at himself. As soon as the ceremony had ended, he'd taken off his suit jacket and was now only wearing a vest and tie.
Now I'm underdressed, he lamented.
I sighed and unbuttoned the snaps holding the cape to my dress. The second I held it out, Hale came to carefully take it away. Does that help?
No,
he swallowed.
But if you truly want this...
I do. I tilted my head and playfully batted my lashes. He laughed, clearly realizing he was defeated.
What do I do?
Okay, I grinned, stepping closer. Put this hand here, I said, placing the front one on my waist. And this one here, pulling the other up to my shoulder. I put one hand on his chest and the other looped behind his arm, and we stood there in a loose embrace. Now, smile at the camera.
All right,
he said. With my hand on his chest, I could feel his heart pounding. Calm down, I said quietly. Pretend it's just you and me.
I can't.
Then, I don't know, say something in Finnish. He chuckled to himself and whispered.
Vain koska pitsit. Hoska nain.
Though I couldn't understand the words he continued to murmur, I knew I would never be able to forget his tone. Without looking up at him, I could hear his smile, which only made mine brighter. I had to remind myself to breathe. I was so busy listening to him. I knew in my heart these were important words, and I couldn't recognize a single one.
That was a good one,
the photographer said, and almost instantly Eric dropped his hands. See? Was that so awful? I asked.
I thought it would be much, much harder, he confessed.
And there was something funny in his voice, like I'd missed a detail. I could hear it again, the rat-tat-tat of my foolish heart. I swallowed, ignoring it and turning instead to the footsteps echoing as they entered the hall. Merid, I called in greeting.
I'm sorry to intrude, but I couldn't help myself. Is there any way I could get an official picture with my new queen?
Merid asked. Of course. I extended a hand and he walked over, happily taking it.
The country is abuzz,
he told me.
I don't know if you've been hearing reports today, but the coverage is very positive.
I haven't had a second to pause and look, I confessed, as he held both of my hands affectionately and faced the camera.
No need. You have people at your beck and call to report it all later. I'm just happy to be the first to tell you that your inaugural day is going beautifully.
He squeezed my hand and I sighed, thinking that maybe,
finally, it was all coming together. Chapter 22. I drank champagne and laughed too loudly and ate half my body weight in chocolate. Just for a few hours, I wanted to revel in the ridiculous opulence I'd always taken for granted. Tomorrow, I would sip water and get my head straight. Tomorrow, I would worry about how to keep my country together. Tomorrow, I would think about husbands. But tonight? Tonight, I was going to bask in this perfect, sparkling moment. "One more dance?" Aaron asked, catching me mid-sip in what I swore was my last drink.
"I have a flight to catch, but I wanted to say goodbye."
I stood, taking his hand. "I'll take whatever goodbye I can get. Anything will be better than last time."
"I'm still sorry about that, but you know why I couldn't."
We locked form and he spun me around the room. "I do. That didn't make it any easier, though. Add that to everything else that's going on, and life's been a little harsh without you here."
"I'm sorry, but you're doing very well. Better than you think, I'd wager."
"We'll see. I still have to establish my government, make sure Mom and Dad slow down, and find someone to marry me." He shrugged.
"So, basically nothing."
"It's practically a vacation." He chuckled. Oh, how I had missed that sound.
"I'm sorry if my letter was harsh. Mom and Dad wanted to protect you, but I was afraid that not knowing where you stood might actually cripple you."
It wasn't easy to read, but it's come up again and again. I really should have known, if I hadn't been so self-centered.
"You were trying to shield yourself," he said quickly, cutting me off. "You are doing something no one else in this country has ever done. Of course you found ways to make it easier."
I shook my head. "Dad has been exhausted. Mom has never slowed down. You were in love and I tried to talk you out of it. There's a word for what I am, but I'm too much of a lady to say it." He laughed out loud at that, and I caught several eyes looking our way, most noticeably Camille's. I'd wanted to be mad at her, this girl who'd done everything I was trying to do but 10 times better, this girl who'd taken away my twin. But it was clear how happy she was to see us reunited. I still didn't understand how she'd mastered everything so easily, how she seemed to maintain being a leader and a girl without effort. I worried that, as perfect as this day was, it wouldn't last.
"Hey," he said, noting the worry in my eyes. "It will be fine. You're going to make it through this."
I fixed my face, trying to find the magic that had been running through my veins only moments ago. I was the new queen. It wouldn't do for me to be sad on today of all days. "I know. I'm just not sure how." The song came to a close, and Aaron bowed deeply.
"You must come to Paris for New Year's."
"And you have to come back for our next birthday," I insisted.
"Then you have to honeymoon in France."
"Not unless you come back here for the wedding." He held out a hand.
"Deal."
We shook on it, and my precious twin pulled me close for a hug.
"I was mourning for days, thinking you'd never forgive me for leaving. The fact that you're not mad at all makes going that much harder."
"You have to call. And not just Mom and Dad, you have to call me."
"I will."
"I love you, Aaron."
"I love you, Your Majesty."
I laughed, and we both took a moment to dab at our eyes.
"Speaking of that wedding," he started, "any idea who your groom will be?"
We surveyed the room. The elite were easy to spot with their crisp suits and ties, as handsome as any of the visiting royalty. I'd watched them all night, adding their behavior to the piles of information I had about them. Kyle had graciously entertained most of the younger guests, and Fox had shaken so many hands I caught him massaging his wrists at one point. Though Ian and Hale were out of the running, I'd overheard them both giving glowing commentaries about my character to the press, going above and beyond anything I'd hoped for. And then there was Henry. He had done his best with Eric at his side, helping him through conversations. But as I watched him studying the partygoers from his seat, it was clear he'd had a rough time. I've gone back and forth a few times. It's hard to know for sure who the right choice is. I just want to do what's best for everyone.
Including you?
I smiled, unable to answer.
If there's one thing I hope my leaving home proves,
he said seriously,
it's that you have to do whatever it takes to be with the person you love.
Love. Like clothes, I had guessed it was something that fit no two people exactly the same way. I was still unsure what the word looked like for me, but I sensed that, sooner rather than later, it would be fully defined. All that remained to be seen was if I could be satisfied with the definition.
I'm telling you, Edie, wars and treaties and even countries will all come and go. But your life is yours, singular and sacred. And you should be with the person who makes it feel that way every blessed second you live it.
I looked down, studying my gown, feeling the weight of the crown on my head. Yes, my life was singular and sacred, but from the moment of my birth, a mere 7 minutes before his, it had belonged to anyone but me. Thank you, Aaron. I'll remember that.
Please do.
I put my hand on his shoulder. Go find your wife. Be safe getting home and let us know when you land, okay? He took my hand from his sleeve and kissed it.
Bye, Edie.
Bye. Though I was getting tired, I knew it wasn't yet time for me to sneak away. One last lap, I told myself. I'd shake hands, give two or three interviews, and duck out the side door. So many smiles and hugs, so many well wishes and promises to be in contact soon. It cycled energy through me almost as quickly as it sucked it back out. As I rounded the corner where Ian was speaking with a few people who had won the lottery to come to the coronation, another waltz started playing.
Oh, a dance?
A young girl pleaded. I thought she meant she wanted Ian to dance with her, but she nudged him in my direction, and he was only too happy to escort me onto the floor. After a few turns, I had to ask. How long have you liked Hale? He smiled.
From the moment we were getting prepped to meet you, he just looked so happy, to the point of being cartoonish. It was endearing.
It is endearing, I agreed.
Sorry I lied to you. I was planning on taking this to my grave.
And now? He shrugged.
I'm not sure, but Hale's so damned insistent on being true to yourself that, at the very least, I wouldn't try to use someone like a screen to hide it, the way I tried to with you. It's not fair to anyone.
It's hard to be fair to yourself sometimes, isn't it? He nodded.
I wouldn't compare our circumstances, though. In the end, no one cares about me, and everyone cares about you.
Don't be silly. I care about you. I cared about the swaggering snob who introduced himself that very first day. He laughed, thinking back. Some of that veneer had slipped away. Not all of it, but I knew how hard it was to let walls down. And I care about this nervous, gentle person in front of me now. Ian was not the type to cry. He didn't swallow or blink or give any of the typical signs. But I sensed that if he'd ever been close to shedding a tear, it was right now.
I'm so glad I get to see you be queen. Thank you, Your Majesty, for everything.
Anytime. The song came to a close and we bowed our heads to each other.
Is it all right if I leave in the morning?
he asked.
I'd like to have some time with my family. To talk.
Of course. Stay in touch. He nodded and crossed the room, ready to begin his new life. I'd done it. I'd made it through the day without doing anything humiliating. No one had protested, and I was still standing. It was over, and I could escape to the peace and quiet of my room. And then when I was about to hit the side door, I saw Merid speaking in front of the camera. He looked at me and lit up like a firework, waving me over to join in his interview. And while everything in me wanted to go and rest, his smile was so charming that I went to his side. Chapter 23.
Here she is, the lady of the hour, he said, wrapping an arm around me as the interviewer giggled.
Your Majesty, how are you feeling? She asked, pointing the microphone at my face. Am I allowed to say tired? I joked. No, it's been an incredible day, and with so many distressing things happening in our country recently, I certainly hope today will lift everyone's spirits. And I'm very excited to get to work. Thanks to the wonderful young men in the selection and friends like Mr. Ilya here, I've gotten to know so much more about my people. I'm hoping we'll be able to find ways to hear and address needs much more efficiently.
Can you give us any hints at what you're planning to do? She asked eagerly.
Well, I think our town hall meeting, which was completely Merid's idea, I said, gesturing to him, started off a bit rocky, but was ultimately very informative. And Sir Woodwork actually had an interesting proposal recently about giving citizens a much easier way to petition the crown. I can't say too much about it at the moment, but it was incredibly inspired.
Speaking of proposals, she said excitedly. Any news on that front?
I laughed. Let me get through my first week as queen, and then I'll turn my focus back to dating.
Fair enough. And what about you, sir? Any words of advice for our new queen?
I turned to face Merid, who shrugged and ducked his head.
I just wish her all the luck with her reign and finishing her selection. The guy who wins her heart will be luckier than he knows.
Merid swallowed, seeming to have a hard time meeting the interviewer's eyes again. She nodded heartily.
He certainly will.
She turned to the camera and signed off, her attention no longer on us. I took Merid's arm and swung him around, moving us out of earshot. I don't want to be rude after all the kindness you've shown me, but behaving like that is inappropriate.
Like what? He asked.
Like you and I might have been something if only the selection hadn't happened? This is the third time I know of that you've said something like that, but I haven't even seen you in years. I am duty and honor bound to marry one of my candidates, so acting wounded when we've had absolutely nothing together is unacceptable. I must insist that you stop it at once.
And why would I do that? He said,
his voice becoming slick.
Excuse me? If your family had been paying the slightest bit of attention to your people, you might have learned by now that when it comes to the public, I have an incredibly powerful voice. They treasure me. You should see the piles of fan mail I receive. Not everyone thinks the Shreve line is the valid one.
I froze, terrified that there was truth to what he was saying.
You owe me a lot, Evelyn. I've kept you looking good in papers and spoken well of you in interviews, and I saved that town hall meeting. I did that, not you.
I could have.
No, you couldn't. And that's the problem. You can't do this job alone. It's nearly impossible, which is why you getting married is a wonderful idea. Only, you're looking in the wrong place.
I was too stunned to speak.
And let's be honest, if any of those boys were that excited about you, wouldn't they be swarming around you this very second? From the outside looking in, they're all indifferent.
My shock turned to anguish. I looked around the room. He was right. None of the elite seemed remotely aware of my presence.
In the meantime, if you unite with me, the Ilya-Shreve line will be completely secure. No one would dare question your right to rule if you were my wife.
The room swayed a little, and I fought to keep myself together as he went on.
And you can check the figures if you like, but as far as public opinion goes, my approval rating is twice what yours is. I could elevate you from tolerated to adored overnight.
Married, I said, hating that my voice sounded so weak. This isn't possible.
But it is, and either you can end this selection on your own, or I can drop rumors about us to the point that no one takes it seriously anyway. By the time I'm done, you will look more heartless than they already think you are.
I straightened my back. I will ruin you, I vowed.
Try it. See how fast they turn on you.
He kissed my cheek.
You have my number.
Merritt walked away, casually shaking hands with those he passed, as if he was already a member of the royal family. While all eyes seemed to follow him, I quietly ducked out of the room. I was a fool. I'd thought that Hale cared about me, that Ian was here to support me, and I couldn't have been more mistaken. I'd been wrong to trust Burke and Jack and Baden. I'd been positive Merritt was here to help me, and he'd only been trying to set himself on the throne. My instincts were wrong at every turn, and suddenly it seemed as though the people around me were nothing but fakes. Was I mistaken about anyone else? Was I wrong to trust Nina or Lady Bryce? Was Kyle not the friend I thought he was? Could I trust what I felt or thought about anyone? I leaned against the wall on the verge of tears. I was the queen. No one was as powerful as me, and yet I'd never felt more helpless. Another figure came out of the doorway, and before I could duck farther out of sight, Eric's face came into view.
Your Majesty, I'm sorry. I was just escaping the crowds. It was a little too much for me in there.
I didn't answer.
Seems to have been a bit too much for you as well,
he added cautiously. I stared at the floor.
Your Majesty?
He moved closer, whispering. Can I help you? I stared into those wildly blue eyes and abandoned all the worries in my head. My heart said run, so I grabbed his hand and did just that. I tore down the hallway, looking back once to make sure no one was following. As I hoped, the women's room was empty. Leaving the lights off, I pulled us closer to the window so at least I'd have the moon to help me see. At the risk of making an even bigger fool out of myself than I already have, can you please answer something for me? And you absolutely must be honest here. I give you permission to hurt my feelings. I have to know. After a long moment, he nodded, though his expression told me he was terrified of what might come. Is there a chance that you feel for me the way I feel for you? If you felt even a fraction of this riot that's been happening in my heart, I need to know. Eric let out a breath, seeming stunned and sad at once.
Your Majesty, I...
No, I said, ripping the crown off my head and flinging it across the room. Not Majesty. Edlin. I'm just Edlin. He smiled.
You are always just Edlin. And you are always the queen. You are everything to everyone and infinitely more to me.
I placed a hand on his chest and could feel his heart pounding in time with mine. He suddenly seemed aware of how desperate I was, and wordlessly cupped my cheek in his palm and leaned down to kiss me. Every moment we'd ever had together danced through my head. His awkward stance the day we first met, and how I scolded him before the parade for biting his nails. The way he protected me when the fight broke out in the kitchen,
and how my eyes flitted to him over and over when the boys were deep in prayer outside the hospital wing. And most astonishingly, the moment in the women's room when Camille asked who filled my head, and how hard I fought to stop myself from saying his name out loud then and there. All of it, every magical, forbidden second, burned through me as we continued our dangerously treasonous kiss. When we finally broke apart, I was in tears, positive that Aaron leaving and the fear of losing my mother had been painless in comparison to this. He shook his head, still holding on to me.
Of course. The one time I let myself fall in love, it's with someone in another stratosphere.
I dug my fingers into his shirt, his vest, so angry that I couldn't hold on to it forever. This will be the first time in my life I haven't been able to have something I truly wanted. It's so cruel that it happens to be you. He swallowed.
It really is impossible, then?
My face fell. I didn't want to say the words. I'm afraid so. In so many ways now, I can hardly grasp it all to explain, but everything just got much more complicated for me.
You don't owe me an explanation. I already knew. I made the mistake of letting myself hope for a moment. That's all.
I'm so sorry, I whispered, dropping my gaze. If I thought I could cancel this whole thing, I would. But it would be seen as one more mistake on top of all the other selfish, stupid things I've done. Using his other hand, he gently lifted my chin.
Please, don't speak that way about the woman I love.
My smile was weak. I've been so unfair to you. It was eating me alive, all the wondering. But maybe we would have been better off if we'd never known.
No,
he said, somehow able to find comfort in the middle of us being torn apart.
There is no shame in loving who you love, and there is a great honor in doing what is right. It's a pity those two things don't overlap for us, but that makes this moment no less important to me.
Or to me. He held my hand so tenderly, still seeming shocked that he had the courage to do it at all.
I should get back, he said. I'd hate to cause a scandal.
I sighed. You're right. And still I couldn't quite let go. I stood pressing myself to him. I'm not engaged yet, I whispered. Would you meet me tomorrow night? It was impossible not to see all the gears turning in his head. It was also easy to see the moment when he stopped thinking and nodded yes anyway. I'll get word to you. Leave now, and I'll make my way out in a few minutes. Eric gave me one last hurried kiss and dashed back into the hall. Meanwhile, I retrieved my crown and walked over to the hidden panel behind the bookcase. I wanted to be sure no one would find me tonight. There were no more rebels in Ilia, no threats like that to run away from. But there were still dozens of secret passages in the palace, and I knew every single one.
Chapter 24.
Good morning, Your Majesty,
Lady Bryce greeted me as I walked into the office. Typically, I'd been able to sleep in on Sundays, but there was no way I could spend my first day as queen in bed, especially not after the way things ended last night. I sighed, both tired and thrilled. I heard it a million times yesterday, but it still feels strange to answer to that title.
You'll have decades to get used to it, she replied with a smile.
Speaking of that, I need to speak with you about the selection and my reign, and an unexpected complication.
Complication?
Can you tell me something? How popular is Merid? Lady Bryce whistled.
Whew, he's made quite a name for himself over the last few years. He's frequently interviewed on the radio, and he's so handsome and comes from such a well-known family that he ends up in a lot of print media as well.
Plenty of people listen when he speaks. Fortunate he decided to turn up when he did, huh?
Before I could explain what had happened last night, I heard the door open behind me and Josie burst into the room.
Hey! Hope I'm not late!
She exclaimed.
I closed my eyes in frustration. I completely forgot she was supposed to start shadowing me today.
Can I help you?
Lady Bryce asked.
Oh, I'm here to help you,
she announced.
I'm shadowing Edlin today. Maybe longer if this goes well.
Miss Marley suggested it during the family photo session yesterday, I said quickly. Lady Bryce nodded, and it was at this moment that Nina entered the office as well. Though I wasn't sure how comfortable I was sharing everything in front of Josie, it seemed I had no choice.
Okay, I began slowly. We have a problem, and his name is Merid Ilya.
Really?
Nina asked.
He's seemed helpful so far.
Yes, that was how he meant it to look. But in truth, his goal has always been to take the crown.
I swallowed, feeling stupid all over again.
Last night, I called him out for encouraging the press to think that we were more than friends, and he made it clear that he was planning to pursue this angle until the public would demand that I marry him.
Lady Bryce put her head in her hands.
I knew he could undermine this whole thing. I knew it. We should have squashed the rumors.
I shook my head. This isn't your fault. You gave me the opportunity early on, and I didn't take it. I just never thought he'd try to worm his way into the palace as a permanent fixture.
It's so sneaky, Lady Bryce said, balling her hands into fists. His parents threw rocks and stormed the palace. All he has to do is make a few properly timed speeches, and he's in without looking remotely aggressive.
Exactly. And I'm scared. If he sways the people to believe he should be my prince consort, they'll come after the monarchy. They've been on the edge of revolt for a while, and now that I'm queen, there's nothing to stop the people who held out for my father's sake. But if we concede, and he's here, if he could lie that easily just to get near to me...
What would he do when he sees he doesn't need you anymore?
Lady Bryce said somberly. I'd already pictured a dozen different scenarios. He'd say I slipped down the stairs, or fell asleep in the bath, or that the singer genes had gotten to my heart, too. I didn't want to think of Merid as purely evil, but I understood that he was out for power and had no regard for me. It was possible I was being paranoid, I knew that, but after having missed so many things in the last few months, things that should have forced me to be careful, to speak up, to do something. Now wasn't the time to assume things would be fine.
Then we have to silence him. What do we do?
Nina asked.
Why do you need to do anything?
Josie asked. We all turned, and her smile faded under the weight of our stares.
I mean, you're the queen. You could just kill him if you wanted. If he was being a traitor, right?
If he acts like a traitor, yes, but when it seems like he's in love with me and I decide to hang him, how does that make me look?
She squinted, taking that in.
Awful. Worse than awful. And my approval is hanging on by a thread as it is. I can't have him killed. I don't even think I can publicly say I have no interest in him now. Not without backlash.
Then what? Lady Bryce asked. This doesn't leave the room. Does everyone understand? I stared at Josie, hoping she understood the importance of secrecy. First, we will ignore Merid. He's not allowed in the palace, and if he calls, no one speaks to him. He's completely shut out of my presence from here on out. We can't give the press so much as a whisper to draw from.
Agreed,
Lady Bryce commented. Second, I've mapped out how the next few weeks will go in terms of the selection. Ian is heading home this morning. We spoke last night, and he's ready to go. Early next week, Hale will be leaving as well. Nina made a face.
I'm sad to see Hale go.
Me too, but this was a mutual agreement, so I assure you there are no hard feelings on either side.
That makes it easier,
she admitted.
But wait, aren't you supposed to choose within 4 days once you get to a top three?
Yes. The only way to beat Merritt at his game is to choose a husband as quickly as possible. And regardless of how deeply in love I may or may not be, it has to look as good as what my parents have. Better if we can manage it. I took a deep breath. So, once Hale is gone, we'll wait a few days, and then eliminate Fox. He's nice, but we don't have a real connection. That will leave Kyle and Henry as the final two, and I intend to do a live broadcast in about 2 weeks to announce my fiancé.
2 weeks?
Nina gasped.
Edlin!
I will need help with the perception of this, I went on. I checked some recent poll numbers, and Hale and Kyle have been frontrunners for a while. I'll take care of making sure that Hale's decision to go is seen as necessary, so the people will be satisfied with his departure. But we need something sensational about Henry, like that he bakes for people in nursing homes, or that his family is descended from Swendish nobility. Even if you have to stretch the truth, do it. Get him to the final two with everyone's approval. No one spoke for a moment.
Do you even love Kyle?
Josie asked. For once, her face had lost its ridiculously blank look, and I saw the deep, genuine concern in her eyes. I thought of Eric, of him promising me that it was worth it, of how he'd treated me from the very start, of how he'd kissed me, of how he'd be gone soon. I'd be happy with Kyle. Certainly leaders before me had made much bigger sacrifices, but Lady Bryce, Nina, and Josie all looked as though I was marching into death.
Are you going to help me or not? I demanded.
I'll see what I can find out about Henry, Lady Bryce said.
I'd prefer to start with the absolute truth first.
As would I, and I feel confident you'll be able to find something for him. He's such a sweetheart.
He is, Nina agreed. As is Kyle. You could do much worse.
Yes, I thought. But I could also do much better. Do what you need to get everything in place for this. I'm going to spend the rest of the day working from my room. Josie? She snapped to attention. Are you coming back tomorrow, or was this enough for you?
It was more than enough, she said, swallowing.
Not a word, you understand? She nodded, but I could hardly bear to look at her. She seemed so sad for me, and of all people, I couldn't stand her pitying me. But when I looked at Nina and Lady Bryce, their expressions were just as bad. I pulled myself up as tall as I could and left the room, remembering that no matter what, I was still queen. Chapter 25.
What is this place?
Eric asked. I'd done my best to make it cozy, sneaking in with a basket full of candles and blankets midday, and another full of food when everyone left for dinner. Eric said he was sick. I said I had work. And we met in an inconspicuous spot on the second floor. One of the easiest passages that led down to the massive safe room was by my mother's old bedroom, the one she'd had during her selection. Sometimes she took pilgrimages there, like it was the calmest place for her to be in the palace. Back when the rebels were a deadly threat, the royal family used to escape down here, I told Eric as we made our way through the passage. But this place hasn't been used in well over a decade, and now I think it may be the palace's best-kept secret.
In other words, no one's finding us.
Eric responded with a smile. Not if we don't want them to. He took a deep breath.
I've felt so guilty today. Torn between how excited I was about your invitation, and how guilty I feel since I'm not even a choice.
I nodded, pulling plates from the basket and setting them on top of the blankets. I know. I've been cursing this election in ways I haven't since my parents first mentioned it. And then I take it all back because if it had never happened... We shared a long look. I broke it with a sigh, continuing to set out our candlelit picnic. You know, my father wasn't supposed to marry my mother.
You're kidding,
he said, joining me. Apparently, my grandfather had handpicked the girls who came to compete. He only threw in 3 fives to appease the lower castes, and he hated Mom from the get-go. On top of that, I found out my parents used to argue all the time. I shrugged, still surprised by their rocky history. I grew up thinking that they were a fairy tale, you know? It turns out they were just like anyone else. Somehow, that makes it even more magical. I let the words hang, thinking of everything I knew now. They slow dance when it rains. I have no idea why, but every time the sky turns gray, you'll find them together. I smiled. I remember once, Dad barged into the women's room, which is completely improper. You're supposed to be invited in. But it was raining, and he wasn't going to wait to sweep her away. And one time, he dipped her in the hallway, and she just laughed and laughed. She was still wearing her hair down then, and I'll never forget how it looked like a waterfall of red. It's like no matter what happens, they can find themselves again there.
I know what you mean.
Eric eyed the bottle of red wine I'd snagged and grinned.
My parents find themselves over Ominolartsi.
I wrapped my arms around my knees, tucking my dress beneath me. What's that?
It's like an apple donut. My mother made him a batch when they were dating, and it became their thing. When something good happens, Ominolartsi. When they're making up after a fight, Ominolartsi. When it seems like a particularly wonderful Friday, Ominolartsi.
How did they meet?
This will sound strange, but through bolts and screws.
I squinted. So, are they mechanics?
No,
he replied with a chuckle.
My parents have known each other basically their entire lives. They grew up in the same small town in Swendway. When they were 11, some guys at school were picking on my dad, throwing his schoolwork in the mud. My mom was even smaller than him at the time, but she went right up and yelled at them and pulled my dad away. He was embarrassed, but she was enraged. She forced him into an alliance, and that night they met each other on a back road, ran to each of the 3 bullies' houses, and stole the screws out of their bike wheels so they'd have to walk. For weeks after that, any time they saw that one of the bullies had replaced the screws, my mom and dad would go steal them.